Bill Leff. It's Harry Tynowitz. Harry's filling in for Wendy. She'll be back on Friday. This is Tech Tuesday. On Tuesday, we talked to a representative of CNET. Today's no different. Roger Chang is here, executive editor and head of CNET News. Roger, how are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Great to talk to you. Let's start out with this story. Apple, which is a fixture here on Tech Tuesday, is reportedly in talks with a big acquisition. What is that all about?
Yeah, they are, according to the Wall Street Journal, in advanced talks to buy the modem business from Intel for a deal that could be worth $1 billion and include a bunch of patents and employees.
Why is this in their benefit, would you say, Roger?
So this sort of goes back to the lawsuit, the legal battle that they've been fighting with Qualcomm, and they just settled. So they work things out, and right now they're using Qualcomm's modems in their iPhones. And the modems are, you know, what you use to tap into Verizon and AT&T networks, for instance. But what Apple really ultimately wants to do is build its own modems, right? That they do a lot of their own parts already. They build a lot of their own components. And they've often felt that, you know, if they controlled everything, that would make for a better experience for the consumer. So the modem isn't any different. The only problem is, modem technology is really complicated, right? Qualcomm has spent years trying to perfect this stuff, and Intel got into it really late, which is why they really don't have a great 5G modem. But, you know, the idea here is Apple invests in the technology, invests in the patents and the employees, and starts building out the modem technology from the ground up.
Roger, I'm a big Twitter guy, and my sister always is on me to get on Facebook, and I just haven't. Facebook, you know, I realize it does great things, but if I want to see my friends' vacation pictures, I'll just ask them to text me them. There's a movie coming out that's going to want to keep a lot of people away from Facebook. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, it's a movie called The Great Hack. It's a documentary that will premiere on Netflix tomorrow, actually. And it really kind of delves into the whole Cambridge Analytica flap from really last year, right? It seemed like ancient history. But, you know, this really kind of is a deep look at how this firm basically took a lot of our data, not just folks who participated in the survey they put out, but like all the network of friends that were actually connected to that person, to really swing the elections back in 2016.
That movie, by the way, The Great Hack, is a Netflix original, and it comes out on Wednesday. Am I reading this right?
Yes, that's
tomorrow.
Correct. And yes, and it really sort of questions, it's less a political movie, right? It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or Republican. It really looks at sort of the simple idea of whether or not, you know, you're being manipulated by social media, even as you're giving up so much of your personal information to these companies.
Anybody fun in the movie?
Anyone fun? This is a documentary, so obviously they're going to be looking at, you know, folks like Mark Zuckerberg. Yeah, so there's definitely high-profile folks. I'm not
people
sure
that will recognize.
Them, but yeah, you'll definitely see people you recognize.
All right, there's been a lot written and said about the Equifax breach. If people are entitled to some money in the settlement, what do they need to do, and how do you know if you are one of the people that is entitled to some money?
Yeah, so Equifax has agreed to pay at least $575 million and up to $700 million to compensate victims. And it's a little bit complicated how it's going to work out. The courts still need to determine if the settlement, you know, goes through. But if it does, you have to basically determine if you are affected by the breach. And I believe the FTC is setting up a site that will allow you to check to see if you're affected. And then after that, you need to go and you need to figure out if you've been hacked, if you've been affected by the breach. And the settlement accounts for you to be paid out at, you know, as much as $20,000, although that amount is probably going to be pretty variable, and I don't know how many people are actually going to get that much. You know, the real key here is proving out that you were a victim of a hack of some sort as a result of this breach. And that's really difficult. It's not like hackers are going to call you up and say that they've been using your information.
Right.
So that's really kind of the fine print here is like how effectively are you going to be able to prove that you were affected by this in a material way? Not just having your information exposed. That doesn't really cover you. It's really more about having your identity stolen or things that are really nefarious that happen.
Roger, if you feel that you're more entitled to more money than they're saying the cap limit is, I think you said said it was $20,000. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be in your best interest, instead of joining a class action suit, to get an attorney on your own and sue them separately, or is that not an option here?
I mean, I'm not a lawyer, so I can't really speak to what the options are. I know this is sort of wide. This is sort of a wide settlement. I'm sure there's the option to go at it yourself,
yeah,
or go at it in a class action lawsuit. But again, I don't really want to dispense a lot of legal advice.
All right, I have a question for you that's unfair. You're not prepped for this at all. I just want to know if you know anything about this. I read this story in the New York Times about 2 or 3 weeks ago that there's a technology in place by which you'll be able to enter famous paintings. There's some sort of a headset that you'd wear, like a virtual reality headset.
That sounds awesome.
And they've already done it with a couple of paintings, Rembrandt paintings. They started out with Rembrandt paintings. So you almost get like a 3D rendering, not just of the part that's already been painted, but the areas around it. You'll be able to enter the painting and look around it. Do you know anything about this? Is this something that's going to be commonplace in the future? Do you know?
I mean, I can't speak specifically to the Times article. I know that there's been a lot of work into creating these virtual reality experiences. VR theater is one that I've seen a lot more of, like the kind of immersive theater experiences that you see sort of traditionally on sets. That a lot of that's going to be transported into the VR world as well. But the idea of like jumping into a painting through VR, that makes total sense. That really is a great way to really highlight, what makes VR a special experience. There's a lot of hype around VR, around the technology. It didn't really pan out. People didn't jump on VR like everyone thought they would.
No.
But there are these kinds of these experiences. Some of these are one-off experiences that do make VR an interesting, experience, an interesting opportunity. It just, right now VR just isn't, it's not mass market in the way that people had hoped.
But jumping in a painting thing sounds wild. How far away are we, Roger, from a day when you can get a purple crayon and draw something, and then you could, jump into that drawing? Because that would be really cool.
We're still a ways away from that. A lot of this stuff still has to be kind of rendered and pre-produced, right? These experiences take a while, especially the good ones, right? So even though the Rembrandt painting has been around, you still need to have someone in the back end, some designer creating that experience tied into the painting. So that we're a bit away from sort of on the fly making a drawing and then jumping into that painting, but in terms of these experiences, they're definitely coming out. Well, coming out more frequently than ever.
The interesting part of the article in the Times was they said that for the artist, him or herself, this would be a very disturbing thing, because part of art is you're being forced to take on the perspective that the artist wants you to see. It's the angle that they've chosen. So they're saying an artist themselves might not be thrilled with this technology.
Right. And if you did it with Sunday in the Park with George, would you become pixelated?
Oh, what a great question, Barry. What a solid question.
So Roger, maybe this is beneath you. I should be asking your assistant this, but I'm in the market for a new cell phone. Should I grab the one that's out there, or is it a big deal to wait for the next one that's a coming?
It really depends on which. Are you an iPhone user or an Android user?
I am an iPhone guy.
I would probably wait for the next one at this point.
Is that a long wait? That's not a long wait, is it?
It usually comes out in September, so you're about 2 or 3 months
right around the corner. Yeah. Roger, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. Have a great rest of the week. We'll talk to you in a week or so.
Absolutely. Take care.
Roger Chang, the executive editor and head of CNET News. We'll take a quick break and then get you some news. Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio.